Welcome to the Buyer's Desk, your weekly resource for all things natural food retail.
This season, we're shaking things up with shorter weekly episodes to fit your busy schedule.
Each month, we dive into SPINS data, explore trends with industry leaders, spotlight emerging brands, and share actionable strategies to help you thrive.
Get ready to explore the world of natural food retail.
Hey, folks, and welcome to the Buyer's Desk. I am Chris Sorensen, your host for today's episode. And today's episode is a big one, especially for those of us who believe in the power of being independent and staying true to our mission. We're talking about what happens when big business collides with bold ideas, what gets lost in acquisition, what's worth fighting to keep, and why now, more than ever, do independent brands and independent retailers need each other. Today, I'm joined by Seth Goldman, co-founder of Honest Tea, co-founder of Eat the Change, and the driving force behind Justice Tea, or just Iced Tea. You've been in natural foods for a minute. You know Seth's name. But what you might not know is just how personal the journey has been for him. From launching a mission-driven brand concocted in a classroom, to watching a multinational shut it down, to coming back as an indie brand with a new product and a renewed purpose. Seth's story isn't just about tea, it's about Integra Tea and the decisions that ripple through supply chains, store shelves, and communities. We're diving deep today into how those decisions impact the natural products industry and what it means for all of us working to keep the movement grounded in values. Well, that was a lot. Welcome, Seth. I appreciate you being on the show today.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you for that wonderful introduction. And I have to say, Integra Tea was one of the names we considered.
Interesting.
We ended up with Just Iced Tea, and I'm very happy we did, but we did have that idea of Integra Tea, and that had the word integrate in it, which obviously is such a core value, you know, which not just we try to embrace, but I know so many of your listeners and members do as well.
Well, I love that. I have to tell you, too, that I was very much inspired because the co-op I worked at, we did like chalkboard signs all the times and did a lot of wordplay signs. So I loved Honest Tea. So when you came back as Justice Tea, I thought that was super brilliant. It was like a level up. And you inspired me that if I ever started a tea company, I was going to call it Mana Tea because, you know, mana, like life force, supernatural power. But I was going to have the little icon be a manatee and like all proceeds go to like supporting manatee protection or something like that.
Oh, that's fun. There's a lot of, we can go down a you know, it's not a dark hole. We can go down a hole with those names. We had Liberty was a name back in the day. We sort of toyed around with.
There's loyalty, specialty. Yeah. That's fun. Well, I could probably talk word puns with you for forever, but I really want to go back to that moment when Coca-Cola announced they were discontinuing Honest Tea. And I want to know like what went through your mind as a founder and talk to us, you know, through what that decision meant for farmers, retailers, and that whole value of the brand that, you know, you built into that kind of global tea empire.
Yeah. Well, the first thing was just shock. We just had to process it. And it was, I guess it really was a personal shock because, you know, so my wife and I have three sons and Honest Tea was created within a year of our third son being born. So in a lot of ways, Honest Tea was the fourth son. I mean, and even in fact, our boys, young men, were probably the most upset of all. They really felt the loss. And so, you know, for the first week, all we could do was just be sad. And it wasn't just me, of course, it was and not just my family. It was all these really now by that point, thousands of people around the world who had helped him build Honest Tea into what it was. So, you know, we just had to be with that sadness for a week. But within that week, we started to get outreach from buyers, of course, you know, retailers and consumers. And I'll tell you a funny one in a second. But the one that really was impactful was that so many of the suppliers were upset. And so when I got the news, and I know the exact day, it was May 23rd, 2022, was when I had that call with Coca-Cola, and I wrote a LinkedIn post that day. In fact, I think all of the tea suppliers found out this news about Honest Tea discontinued from that post. They weren't informed by Coca-Cola. So it really, you know, had a big impact. I mentioned the consumer one. We actually got a call from President Obama's office, his personal office, because he had been a big consumer of Honest Tea. And they said, he's interested in getting a pallet. We've heard, you know, Honest Tea's been discontinued. Can he get a pallet of the Green Dragon Tea delivered? You know, can we order that? And I'm like, I'm not part of Coca-Cola anymore. But it was clear, you know, from all corners, there was enough interest in seeing this, not just this brand, it's really this idea continue and this product. And so we realized that, you know, and as I said, the one that was most compelling was hearing from these tea gardens who were worried about their livelihood. They, you know, one of the suppliers who I actually had started with, his father, and he had said, you know, we know there's an economic shock, but we're also concerned that this could be such a setback for organic and fair trade, where we have invested in these supply chains and kind of made this bet with you. And we'd hate to think this was all a failed experiment. And I told him later, I said, you couldn't have found more motivating words for me to, you know, that this could somehow be a failed experiment and not while I'm still breathing. So, you know, very quickly, we started to bring together all the different parts of the supply chain, both all the way through to the store level, and found there was just such excitement for it. And you know, the other thing that was a little unexpected, but wonderful, is so many of our salespeople, our team members came back. And so I know a lot of the Infra members will know names like Becca Ray and Melanie Nitzer and Rick Tidrell, folks who I've worked with for, you know, decades, and they were excited to rebuild. And of course, one reason I'm so happy to talk to you by extension, all your members, is because Infra really was, you know, that foundation of our business. It was with Honest Tea. And again, very quickly with Just Iced Tea, it was where we launched. And those stores, you know, knew what the values were. They gave us that shelf space right away. And that was what really helped us, you know, grow so quickly.
Well, yeah, I think that's great, because that was one of the things I actually wanted to talk to you a little bit about, your comeback strategy and how were independents and co-ops and some of those natural food brands a part of that? Because it was kind of a quick, intentional kind of jump back into it. So tell us a little bit about jumping back into it and that strategy.
Well, yeah, you know, we got, as I said, got this news May 23rd, 2022. And I knew if we're going to launch an iced tea brand, we got to launch it. You know, we have to be in stores no later than September, because you can't, you know, once you get to October and it's, you know, pumpkin spice season and eggnog, and no one wants to hear about iced tea. So we scrambled, and basically within 90 days, we got the name of the product, the recipes, the supply chain, labels designed and printed. And so we hit the stores. We started shipping in September. And of course, Infra, you know, we got the distributors lined up, and those were the stores that we hit, you know, first of all, really. I mean, of course, we, you know, we did get into Sprouts and Whole Foods that fall. But, you know, Infra was ready to go sooner than anyone. And it was just wonderful. And of course, that is where you built these brands, where that the core of the core audience exists. And so, you know, it's also where we bring all our innovations and it continues to be, you know, going back to Honest Tea and for Just Iced Tea, when we bring out our innovations, we know this is going to be the most receptive audience to it. And occasionally there's some varieties of tea that will almost, I'm going to say only do well, that they do best in Infra, but they don't do as well in the mainstream. So sometimes, you know, the Infra members get excited about, and I'll share, you know, we have a lemon ginger tea that has done well in Infra, but it has not done well in the mainstream. And so we're going to transition that over to an orange mango herbal tea. But, you know, sometimes that happens too.
Yeah, well, it is kind of a different shopper, right? Like, I think those core shoppers and the independents, you know, they have their flavor profiles. And
yep, so. Yep. Well, and that's what we love, because that's where we innovate. And I always talk about, you know, when we bring out a new drink, we'll always start it. I call it the farm system, but that doesn't mean, and that's a positive association for me. So just like, you know, a baseball player, you know, you don't go to the majors right away. You start in the farm leagues, and you demonstrate whether you've got the chops, you know, whether people, you know, and so it is sometimes the case that something will work well in the core natural channel and not work well in the mainstream channel. But rarely, if ever, will something not, if something doesn't work in the Infra store, I don't think it's got prospects beyond that.
Interesting. Yeah, I've heard people talk about definitely the different flavor profiles of the different consumers, but I've never heard anyone say that if it doesn't work in the natural channel, it won't work in the mainstream. But it makes sense with tea. Yeah, it makes sense with something like that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure there's some energy drinks that wouldn't do well in Infra that would do well in convenience stores, but that's not our brand.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I know with you guys, it's partnerships have always been kind of at the core of what you guys do, whether that's, like you said, the farmers, whether it's the retailers. So it's been kind of a critical piece of the puzzle for you. I'm curious to learn a little bit more of how do you plan on furthering partnerships this time around? Because, you know, with almost potentially losing some of those and bringing them back, it almost seems like there's like some commitment or like foundational things that you could do to help with that going forward.
Well, for sure. We one of the communities that we started sourcing with this time around with Just Ice Tea that we hadn't worked with at Honest Tea is this tea supplier in Mozambique. And it is there. It's interesting. It's a longstanding tea garden, but it is only recently organic. And the reason it became organic is because it, during the Civil War, it shut down. And so for more than three years is the transition time to organic. There was more than 10 years that this tea garden still had tea bushes, but they weren't being harvested for tea. So after the Civil War, they reopened it. And this, because it had already sort of met the criteria, could reopen right away as organic. And it is now the world's largest organic tea garden. But it's located in one of the poorest parts of the world. So Mozambique is one of the 10 poorest countries in the world. And the province in Mozambique, Zambezia province, is one of the poorest in Mozambique. So we are working really hard to invest in this community. So through Fair Trade, we're working to actually build a health clinic in this community. And we're raising external funds. In addition to our Fair Trade funds, we're raising money with Rotary International. And we hope to be activating this clinic before the end of this year.
Wow, that's exciting.
Yeah. And it really, for us, is just fundamental to bringing that word justice to our brand and you know, what we stand for.
Yeah, that's great. Because I realized, too, when you came back with the name Justice, that there was, you know, a really good tie into that. And I love that's how we started this conversation. But to hear you talk about the thread of how you think about partnerships through that lens of justice as well is great for people to hear that it's not just a name. It's not just a way to like come back, you know, with some level of justice, but it sounds like a through line in how you guys are making decisions.
Yeah. And in fact, I should share, because I know your members will be interested. We've also joined this new effort in the United States called the Purpose Pledge. So there's about 19 companies that are committing to this pledge. And it's really, I would say, the next step in elevating purpose-driven business. And so we, along with other companies like Dr. Bronner's and Lundberg Farms, Family Farms, are making commitments. It's around product integrity, but it's also even around pay ratios. It's around fairness in the workplace. It's about independent governance. And so that's a really exciting step, once again, to ingrain purpose into our business.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I know with Dr. Bronner's and B Corp, there's a little bit of, you know, them feeling like it wasn't strong enough. Knowing that B Corp is you know, increasing their certificate or their qualifications and things like that. This seems like it's something really driven by brands wanting to take control of that and kind of elevate this to a stronger level. So
that's right. It's kind of saying, okay, shareholder primacy is one step, but let's go to stakeholder primacy. So let's go beyond just thinking about shareholders and let's think about shareholders and other stakeholders as well, the environment, the workers, both inside the company and the supply chain.
I love that. Yeah. So when I think about that, you talked about independent, and this whole month we're talking about independence. You know, when we, our July episodes, that's where we really focus in on being independent, right? So what I guess I want to connect back to what's different for you today as now an independent brand owner again than the Honest Tea days. And you maybe, how has that landscape changed for better or worse? And what gives you hope for independent brands?
Look, it's still hard out there. And you know, Honest Tea really did keep its independence. Even within Coca-Cola, I mean, obviously by the time I left, I would say it started to get absorbed in there. But the values of Honest Tea really did stay intact up through its point of being discontinued, which I know is it sort of sounds ironic, but it's much better to have that happen than to have this brand diluted, you know, oh, well, let's cut the fair trade, let's cut the organic. And by the time you're done, you've really ruined what's about. So, and interestingly, Honest Kids, which I'm, you know, is still very much a vibrant brand, is absolutely delivering what our commitment to democratizing organic, right? So Honest Kids is probably the most democratized organic product in the country, meaning people, you know, whether they go to McDonald's or Wendy's or Subway or Chick-fil-A, they're getting this organic drink along with their fast food meal. But that means that for millions of Americans, it's the first organic product they're consuming. And it's not exorbitantly expensive. It tastes less caloric, but it tastes delicious. And so there are still paths for our impact brands to work in larger companies. But that said, for me, this has been really freeing and just so fun to be able to create from scratch a brand that is totally values embedded. I mean, with Honest Tea, we started, it wasn't organic when we started, it wasn't fair trade, it moved toward those. But with Just Iced Tea from day one, those values were intact. And it's been great to see how much further evolved the whole marketplace is. When we started organic, just people barely really knew about it. Now it is something that's a standard that's accepted in mainstream channels. And so, the other thing that is more accepted is less sweet, right? When we started in 1998, everything was sweet or zero calorie. And now there are a lot more mid-calorie, low-calorie drinks. And so this, again, is another, it's just great to see how much further the marketplace has evolved. I think the only other thing I'll say that's interesting where things have evolved, I'm surprised, is that how people beverage across the spectrum, so many beverages have moved to plastic. And we did have plastic with Honest Tea, but we're not doing that with Just Iced Tea. So for us, it's glass bottle or can. And I think that's probably where consumers are largely moving away from plastic. I mean, obviously it's still the dominant package, but I just sense that over time that's going to be when they're going to continue to gravitate away from.
I have to nerd out on something because you mentioned Honest Kids. And so when I was in retail, I always knew Honest Tea and Honest Kids is one thing. They kind of split off. What is the deal with the Honest Kids versus Honest Tea? And are you still part of Honest Kids? Is that owned by Coke? How is that all?
Honest Kids, yeah, it all sold to Coca-Cola at the same time. Honest Kids is the part of the Honest brand that survives. And it's doing great. It's over $500 million brand. And like I said, it's in almost every major food service outlet around the country. It still isn't, organic and really a vibrant brand. I'm no longer economically involved, but it's funny, my kid's name is still on the package signing it. So, and he's now 31 years old. So that's kind of funny.
That is awesome. But, so there's still some connection.
Yeah. No, I am the founder of Honest Kids, along with Barry and the team.
That's great. Yeah, it's just when you are working in the store and see this thing happen from the retail level, you always wonder what happened and how are the connections and all of that.
Well, and that's why when Coke told me they were discontinuing Honest Tea, I did ask. I said, well, is it available for me to buy Honest Tea? And they said no, because we're keeping Honest Kids. And so we can't have one person manage the Honest Kids and another company own Honest Tea. And actually, Coke, I just read, has launched Honest Tea in India. There are bottles of drink in India called Honest Tea. That's a Coca-Cola product.
Interesting. So it's not completely gone, just gone from what we know as the natural channel.
Yeah, for sure.
So one thing that thinking about the acquisitions and things like that we hear a lot in the industry, especially from what I'm working with brands, people on the CPG side, is the pressure to scale, and with that, the pressure to sell. And I think we've even talked about in the office, that there's always been, when I was a kid growing up, it's like, oh, this is a band is a sellout or this company is a sellout. But I think a lot of people are getting into creating brands with the purpose to sell. And so I'm wondering from your experience, what should independent founders be thinking about if presented with an opportunity? And maybe what do you wish you would have known, going into maybe that acquisition?
Well, the key is to embed the mission into the product, so that you can't have something that gets diluted, meaning and I'll give just an example. If you're a company that gives away all its profits to charity, that's different than making it organic, fair trade, low calorie. These are things that are fundamental to the product. You can't keep a brand as it's designed if you change those properties. So look, it is real. People raise money. It takes a lot of money to launch brands these days, tens of millions of dollars. And so you can't just take that money and not be expected to give it back to the investors with some kind of return on it. And so selling out is certainly one way to make sure those investors get their money back. But going public is now more of an option than it was. That wasn't always, an option. I actually am less concerned with companies selling out as long as they keep the product intact, right? So I go again, Honest Kids is a great example. Like that, no one can tell me that was a mistake to do, because if your goal is to democratize organic and then to scale it, then that's what Honest Kids is doing. And it's got the world's largest beverage company distributing an organic lower calorie drink to millions of kids, replacing, let's just say, a lot of crap out there. So that to me was a good outcome for the consumer and for the organic farmers, and obviously, you know, for the shareholders too. So I think the key is to make sure your values are embedded in the brand and into the product so they can't be compromised.
So Seth, one of the things that we hear a lot in the industry, especially on the CPG side when I'm working with brands, is that pressure to scale, and with that, the pressure to sell. You know, and I think, you know, when I was younger, I'd always hear, you know, this company is a sellout or this or that. So I want to know, like, you know, there's some brands that are now starting with the intent to sell. So I want to know from your experience, you know, thinking about if you were presented with that opportunity, or if a brand was, what do you wish you would have known? And how do you feel about that whole, you know, folks starting to sell or being brought with that opportunity to potentially sell?
Well, look, it takes real money to grow these businesses. Like it's very hard to do out of your own pocket. And so you're raising real money. And these days it's often tens of millions of dollars. And when you raise that kind of money, you're expected to return it to investors with some kind of multiple on it. So there is a real pressure. And I'm less worried about whether or not a company sells or not. I'm more interested in what is the product they design, and does it keep the integrity intact? And so I'll give you a great example with Honest Kids, which you know, is still a vibrant brand within Coca-Cola. And it was, the Honest Kids is a lower calorie or fully organic drink with no sugar added. And that's how we designed it. It is now over $500 million brand. It's sold in everywhere from Wendy's to Subway to Chick-fil-A, McDonald's, Arby's. And it is absolutely doing what it was intended to do. And it's a good outcome for the consumers. It's a good outcome for the farmers. So I'm not always afraid of sellout. It's really more, can you embed the values into the product? And I think Honest Kids has done that successfully.
Yeah, no, I think that's great when you are able to do that, or those businesses do that. And I think that's where we worry on the retail side, is how long, you know, is it going to maintain that? And is, like you said, what's built in going to last the test of time? So it's that trust, I think, that retailers and consumers can get worried about. Like, at what point and at what time does an ingredient change, or does something change over time?
Well, that's where the standards are so important, right? So organic, you either are or you're not organic. You can't say, oh, we're kind of organic and now we're less kind of organic. And the same with fair trade. You either are or you're not fair trade. And even the same with calories. So to me, those are three great delineators that are third-party verified. And if you see those seals disappear, then there's your answer. But if they keep those intact, I think they're still worthy of being supported.
That's great. So one thing, thinking about our listeners, mostly the natural food buyers, operators, store leaders, business owners, at that independent store level, what do you want them to know about what it really means to support independent brands, farmers, and that today? And how do we, like, push back or think collectively differently on the forces that keep consolidating the industry?
Yeah. Well, look, the independent operators are the key. And I mentioned it with us. They're the ones who create these brands. Make no mistake, right? I mean, it's always great when a Sprouts or a Whole Foods joins in, but, you know, you guys are the leading edge. And so, as we know, sometimes the bets you make are great and they're rewarded, and that's why consumers go there to discover new products and new brands. But sometimes they don't work out. You know, oh, this thing really, we thought it was going to be good, it didn't, and that happens too. But that's kind of the fun and the creativity that comes with what you do. So, you know, I would say always lean into innovation. You know, always be willing to hear someone's pitch and recognize that you may be giving birth to the next wave of, and especially when it has a mission element to it. That's, to me, when it, I would say, it deserves your support, right? I mean, if someone's got a, you know, a newfangled, you know, artificially colored thing, that's not the kind of innovation that you guys can get behind. But when we have the chance to collectively move the needle on what all Americans consume, I think it deserves your support.
Yeah, no, I think that's the interesting point, right? Is, you know, we want, ultimately, what we want to do in this industry is get more quality organic foods into people's mouths, right? And how do you do that? Sometimes it is a balance of, you know, how you run your business, who supports that, and how it gets out to people. But ultimately, you know, it is more ubiquitous now than it has been, like you said, in 1998. So in a way, we have kind of won, but we still have a long way to go.
There's a long way to go, but no question.
Yeah. Well, Seth, I want to thank you so much for being here and everything that you've done and that you're still doing. I know you're on the board of, you know, a handful of other brands kind of pushing the plant-based meat initiatives, working with Tony's Chocolonely and their mission, which we've talked to on the show before. So really appreciate what you're doing to kind of hold the line on what matters in this industry, supporting the farmers. Your story is one that is a reminder that independence isn't just a business choice. It's a statement of values and a path forward. So really appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Chris. It's been great to be with you. And thank you to all the members and listeners.
Hi, I'm with Pachamama Coffee. And if you believe in the power of independence, this matters. Pachamama is the only coffee company in America that's 100% owned by smallholder farmers. Actual coffee farmers from 5 fair trade cooperatives in Peru, Nicaragua, Guatemala, Mexico, and Ethiopia. They grow the coffee, they lead the company's board, and they keep all the profits. This isn't just another local coffee roaster. Pachamama Coffee is a brand owned by the farmers. So what's in it for consumers? Well, the best coffee beans from each harvest are hand-selected for the Pachamama brand. Certified organic, regenerative, roasted in California, and carefully packed in compostable bags. At Pachamama, we believe shelf space is really a statement celebrating farmer equity and ownership. So if independence matters to you, give Pachamama Coffee a try. Thank you, Infra members and the community, for all your support. Pachamama Coffee, farmer owned, always organic. Visit PachamamaCoffee.com.
As we wrap up this episode of The Buyer's Desk, we'd like to extend our heartfelt thanks to the incredible Infra staff, contributors, dedicated independent retailers, and visionary natural food brands and business partners that made this episode possible.
Stay tuned for more inspiring insights and stories in the world of natural food retail. Until next time, thank you for your support. Angela Bozo, co-host and administrator.
Chris Sorensen, co-host and producer.
Kim Rout, executive producer and segment contributor.
Jim Olson, Spin's segment manager.
Austin Hinkle, audio engineer.
Sarah Super, wellness strategist.
Madeline Ware, marketing writer, editor, and digital manager.
Haley Craig, audio engineer and segment contributor.
Raina Kittredge, segment contributor.
Bella Sislo, outreach manager and segment contributor.